Welcome. Grace and peace to each of you as we gather in the name of the God who loves us, the God who redeemed us, and the God who animates our lives. Amen. Amen. Day 3, Spiritual Life Week. Crossing bridges you'd rather burn. Bridges to self, bridges to others, and today it will be bridges to God. Just want to thank Donna and Conrad for your blessing to us and being present to us in this way. It's been a wonderful journey so far, and we look forward to what the Spirit has to say through you today. So you're not done yet. So stay alert as we allow ourselves to be present to the Spirit at work within us. Pray with me. Again, we welcome your presence, Spirit, to help us to pay attention to the call in our lives to be what you have created us to be. This ongoing journey to cross these bridges and to find out the gift of ourselves, the gift of others, and most importantly, the gift that you are to us because of Christ. Help us to pay attention, to open our ears, to open our hearts, to the stories told, to the scripture read, to the prayers, to the songs, most importantly, to you in this time because of the exuberant love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 139.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up.
You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me.
And your right hand shall hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night,
even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day.
For darkness is as light to you.
For it was you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works.
That I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you.
When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance.
In your book were written
all the days that were formed for me,
when none of them has yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God.
How vast is the sum of them.
I try to count them. They are more than the sand.
I come to the end. I am still with you.
Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God.
And that the bloodthirsty would depart from me.
Those who speak of you maliciously.
And lift themselves up against you for evil.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord?
And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred.
I count them as my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
This morning's scripture is from Jonah 1, 1 to 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Then the captain came and said to him,
"What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish."
The sailors said to one another,
"Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us."
So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him,
"Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?"
"I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land."
Then the men were even more afraid and said to him,
"What is this that you have done?"
For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so.
"What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?"
For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them,
"Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you."
In the course of ministry, I found myself using words such as, "God has prepared you for this time, minister here, and the work you do here will prepare you for the next place God will lead you." In the past month or so, I've heard this phrase come back to me from other people as they face life's trials. "God won't give you more than you can bear." One of those trite phrases you hear in counseling class that, you know, really not helpful to come from the pastor. So I haven't used it, but that's been thrown back to me from families going through major crises. And I'm sitting there by their side thinking, the Lord must trust you an awful lot because you're carrying a boatload. You are carrying a boatload. Before coming to seminary, one of the books I read was Malachi Martin talking about demon possession and deliverance ministries. I don't know if he's a discredited author by now or whatever, but it's a book. And I remember him talking this way. He said something, if you go into a demon deliverance kind of setting where you're being asked to cast out demons literally, the truth will be known. Go in with a clean heart, pure motives, because anything you think you're covering up is going to be seen and it revealed in the course of that service or those ministries. You may be able to think you may hide from the truth of your life, the way you've been living as a pastor or have lived in the past, and it will come out in the course of ministry. You might wonder at how many pastors around us are covering up something about their life, and it keeps hitting the news again and again, no matter how well they think they were covering their tracks, how well they were behaving in the office. It comes out again and again in the course of ministry. Jonah is an illustrating story for that. He fled from where God was distinctly sending him, a call to go with a message to a people, and he was going to flee as far away from that direction as he could go. And in the course of that flight, finds himself being informed of the danger. He was oblivious to the danger around him. Those pagan sailors, the ones from other traditions, were the ones to inform him of the danger and plead with him to seek protection from his God. They were busy with their gods, the resources they had at hand, the places they thought they could trust. "Now get on board with us, Jonah, and do your part in delivering us from this place." And Jonah recognizes and confesses the truth to them. Even in the face of non-believers, the truth will come out. Who you are as a person before God, the ministry God has placed before you, Have confidence that's where God wants you. Move forward in that ministry at that point in time. Don't walk away from it. God won't give you more than you can bear. I can't. Words are bad for me, okay? The action means a lot more in my life. Seeing people go in under fire, under pressure, and minister, perform, stand, be standing at the end of the battle, so to speak, means a lot to me. Words become empty sometimes, and they fail me easily. People coming back to faith out of some very messy, life-obliterating circumstances, that's amazing places to be. Again and again, I've had people minister to me in the midst of it, open their lives to us as pastors. Things that I wouldn't imagine could have been shared so easily with anybody, just being dumped out. God is preparing you for ministry, but right now is using you in ministry. I guess I'd leave you with that one. If this time of seminary is the preparation for a point in time in which you will be of use to God, you're missing the boat that's happening right now, a place right now that you are to be a minister of God. Preparing you for what comes next, and it may not be very pretty. It may have a lot of things you want to run from. And I invite you to walk into it, knowing God will be sufficient, will walk with you in that time also.
I am thankful for the characters that God permits us to see in the stories of the Bible. I'm thankful for the story of Jacob that we visited on Tuesday. I'm thankful for the story of Saul and Ananias that we visited yesterday. And I'm thankful for Jonah today. I'm thankful because over and over again we see people in the Bible whose lives are far from perfect, and God uses them. I want to share with you a story today when I, like Jonah, turned my back on God. And I ran. It happened here, actually. Right here, when I was a seminary student. I need you to know that when I first came as a seminary student here, God had called me in a very powerful way. God had to do it in a powerful way to get my attention, because there was nowhere in my experience when a woman could do pastoral leadership. So God had to speak to me in really strong terms. And plus, the other fact is that in the church where we were, we certainly, women were not being tapped on the shoulder. This was all an inner call. But even though it was a strong inner call that couldn't be ignored, I still came to seminary that first year thinking, probably be a good idea for the spouse of a pastor to have a few seminary classes. That's what this is about. And that first year, God helped me to understand that even if Conrad would turn his back on this whole thing and go back to teaching, this was my call, and I had to do something with it. That was my first year. Second year, I was confronted with preaching. I had my supervisor for my internship asking me about preaching. Donna, wouldn't you like some experience here? I was doing it at VMRC. Wouldn't you like some experience here preaching? No, thanks. I don't want to do that. Well, who's going to be the preacher here in this couple thing? I said, no, Conrad, I'll do it. You can be a pastor, after all, without preaching. And then I had a few professors here gently nudging me, some of them not so gently. How about preaching, Donna? No, thanks. Don't want to do it. No, I don't want it in my curriculum. I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach. And then I had friends who knew of my struggles. And it was during one School for Leadership training time when, after having attended a workshop that had been led by June Alleman Yoder, they confronted me in the woman's restroom. Great place for conversation, isn't it? Well, they confronted me there. Well, why did you take this workshop if you don't want to preach? Well, I've heard June Alleman Yoder before, and how often will I have opportunity to experience her? And she's great. I just like to listen to her. No, Donna, there's something more going on. Nope, that is it. That's the only reason. And they kept pushing, and I walked away from them in mid-sentence. I walked away, and I didn't want to hear what they had to say. Walked out on my friends. And the next morning, I looked at my blue chair in the living room where I was accustomed to sitting down in the morning and spending some quiet time with God, reading, journaling. And I sat down for a little bit, and then I said, Lord, I have said yes to you about everything so far, but not this. I'm not doing this. And I got up from that chair and I walked away. I turned my back on God. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard a seminary student that says, not talking to you anymore, God? But that's what I did. School for Leadership training is January. I didn't sit back down in that blue chair in the morning until probably the end of August. I'm not doing this. Finally, I sat down because it was just too painful to keep running from God. I think there might be some in this room that are surprised to hear, because during that time, I acted like a normal seminary student. But I was fighting and I was running. And it just was too uncomfortable. I couldn't do it anymore. So I sat down. I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. But in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, I only just have to be willing. I don't really have to do it. So 15 years later, I do preach. 15 years later, I have discovered that I love the study. I love the study, getting ready. Writing is just plain hard work. I'm good at it. It's a gift that God has given to me, but it's just plain hard work. And actually preaching, boy, I could still leave it behind. And when I'm in the midst of that hard work of writing a sermon, I can be like Jonah all over again. Okay, I came, I did it, and now I'm going to sit and mope. I said yes, and now I'm going to sit and mope and sit under that bush, and I'm just going to feel sorry for myself because I have to preach. But I do it. Even once in a while, joyfully. I've discovered as I think about this and other times when I've walked into those places that I didn't want to walk into, and God's been saying, no, come along, come along. That when I finally realize that I'm getting ready to cross that bridge, that it's more than the fact that God is reaching out to me from the other side and pulling me to the other side. It's more than that. God is right here. God is right here, taking my hand and helping me. Helping me to cross that bridge. and God is right with you, helping you with whatever bridges that you have to cross. God is right here. So, I would like to invite you to join me in prayer, number 131 in Sing the Journey. Let's pray together. Merciful God, we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive what we have been, accept us as we are, and guide what we shall be. Listen to God's words of compassion. I taught you to walk and lifted you like an infant to my cheek. How can I give you up? I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Amen.